Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
And this morning we're chatting to Janet Fanslow, who is an Associate Professor at the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Janet. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Rachel. How are you?
Good. It is great to chat to you today. You've been doing some really interesting and important research into how growing up in a household with substance abuse or violence, or when members of your household are in jail, how that can affect your life later down the track, and particularly your physical health. This seems like very important research that you've been doing. What were some of your key findings?
So we were looking at, we interviewed almost 3,000 people around Auckland, Northland and Waikato, and we were asking them about their experiences of different forms of adversity in childhood. So some of the things that you've mentioned, like physical or emotional abuse or sexual abuse as a child, or growing up in households with those forms of dysfunction. And what we find is that the more of those experiences that people have in childhood, the greater likelihood they are to have problems with their mental health in later life, problems with their physical health in terms of things like asthma or arthritis, but also in terms of risk of later forms of disability.
It's a really interesting report, I think, because I think people would generally think there would be some adverse effects on your mental health, but I think that physical side of things maybe is unexpected for some people. Were you expecting these results? What did you kind of have in your mind when you went in to do this research?
So we were interested in seeing if we could replicate or repeat a lot of the findings that people have been seeing overseas. And what we're finding internationally is that there's really, really strong evidence that what happens in childhood does have these ongoing physical as well as mental health effects. And one of the things that we're learning about this collectively is really that some of the pathways by which that happens is that those experiences of adversity in childhood, particularly if there are multiple of those experiences, they really do disrupt people's neurodevelopment and cognitive development, and it affects how they function with their thinking, how they function socially, how they function emotionally. And those effects really carry on in terms of some of the other things that we know about in terms of those adoption of high-risk behaviors like smoking or overeating or drinking too much. And those are part of the pathway by which those physical health effects occur. But what's really important is that it means we can start to look at those things like those risk behaviors like drinking too much or overeating as actually symptoms of the underlying problems and the underlying trauma. And if we can start to target that either in terms of prevention or in terms of helping people recover from that those forms of adversity, then we might actually get better health outcomes for people.
And so with that in mind, who is this research useful for? What organisations or who do you imagine will be able to use this research to back up what they're already trying to do in communities?
So it should be useful for a whole lot of different groups of people. So we're really hoping it will be useful for clinicians or healthcare or addictions providers. In terms of people trying to provide help for people with problems, but in terms of the wider community and in terms of the policy supports that we need about it means that we need to recognize that this isn't just a tough childhood for people. It's something that will affect them in throughout their later life. And we really need the policy and the community investment into having those conversations about how we can create environments where people can have safe, stable, and nurturing relationships with their children.
with your research, what kind of ways were you going about this? As you said, you did some interviews and stuff. How did you go about collating this data?
So it was part of a larger study called the New Zealand Family Violence Survey, also known as He Koiora Matapopore. And it was a wider survey of a representative sample of almost 3,000 people. So pretty representative of the New Zealand population. We were interviewing people age 16 and over, and they did a very structured interview where they were reporting both on their health currently, but also that retrospective report on what happened to them when they were children.
It sounds, I mean, it's really heavy research to be doing, but it does sound like in some ways it's not surprising to have discovered this. It's useful in many ways to know this because now, as you say, you've got the means to approach people with this information and use it for these tools for solutions. Are you feeling hopeful about that as an outcome from this research?
I am hopeful because this is really the first time that we've had these data available for the New Zealand population.
Mm-hmm.
It's well-known research internationally. It really has not been on the horizon at all in New Zealand. But internationally, it has been a really huge policy lever to have these data, and it's been a really useful piece of information for getting people to try and change what they're doing and invest differently. I am hopeful that we can tap into that in New Zealand, given that one of the policy platforms that we used to talk about was really, you know, making New Zealand the best place in the world to be a child,
mm-hmm.
and those well-being agendas. And it's, you know, We have the immediate issue of responding to COVID-19, which I which I understand needs to be the priority now. But this piece of information is going to be really helpful in terms of how we position our country to be well and healthy going forward.
Mm.
And we all talk about the economic effects of COVID, or we talk about the effects of COVID on the health system and really how that, you know, has the risk of swamping our health system.
Mm.
So in many ways, that means that this research should become even more important, because if we can keep the population healthier and create conditions for the population to be healthier on all sorts of things that already cost our country a lot of money or that create a lot of pain and suffering, we could shift the whole curve in a way that promotes health.
Well, it sounds like really important research. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning about it, Associate Professor Janet Fanslow from the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland. Have a lovely rest of your Tuesday.
You too. Thanks so much.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
Thank you.